everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Retro Gamers Podcast, episode number 226. Larry here.
And Anthony here.
And what is going on? How are you?
Everything's going great here in sunny California. Oh, wait, California. No, I don't live there. What? I meant everything's going okay. It's a beautiful spring day in New York.
Oh,
nope, that's
nope,
not right
not
either.
There. Where on. Else have you?
Wait,
where have you lived? Tokyo, Osaka.
Yeah, Osaka's there, doing really well, and I might say I've really enjoyed my time in Beijing. So, all is well here in Orlando.
Orlando
Vega. Orlando. No, wait, that's not right.
Not Yolanda Vega.
I know.
And Yolanda. She's still doing.
Is she still
the lotto.
Doing the lotto numbers?
Yep. Never picked my numbers, but she's still doing lotto.
I always loved hearing her say her name.
She did, and as the years went on, and this is not even a joke. Like, she stretched it out.
Is it like Michael?
Like Buffer?
This is Yolanda.
Basically,
Vega.
It really is. Good for her. We're here for another rousing episode of the Retro Gamers Podcast. It's been a very wacky week for both of us. So
it has been.
Forgive us here on this episode if we seem to be, again, jumping around. Just another one of those situations where we kind of thought it wasn't going to happen, but now it is happening. So we want to bring it to you.
Yeah. Life got in the way a little bit for both of us, but life found a way to get us together tonight to actually record it.
Can't find him.
No, you don't need to look for him. Yeah, don't look for Dr. Malcolm. Dr. Ian.
No, but it's the best one because it's the one Lane when he's
injured.
It's the one
where he's lying down.
That's the pop vinyl. It's fantastic.
That's the best one.
So, anyway. All right. So we're going to talk about some stuff. We've got a couple of anniversaries.
We do have a couple of anniversaries to talk about. So that'll be cool.
All right. But let's get into some news, I guess. Let's start off with some news.
The random stuff.
Yeah, why not? What the hey?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do it. I got something actually I want to talk about real quick because.
Please.
Oh, actually,
share.
You know what? Maybe I'll. So.
Well, wait. Should we circle back and talk about maybe the one of the most important things we should talk about today?
Is that going to be the.
Or do you want to close with that?
You know what? You decide. It's like eyewitness news. We deliver. You decide.
Well, you know what? Let's get it going right now off the bat, because this is a very special week in retro. And you know what? It's the reason why I'm happy we were able to record for this week, because I would have hated for you to miss it.
I hate missing episodes.
Yeah, I know you hate missing episodes. I hate missing episodes, too. I was like, but it happens sometimes. But this is an extra, extra, extra special episode because this week, and if I'm not mistaken, today when this episode drops... It is the birthday of one Mr. Larry Mormon.
Oh, it is? Wait, let me check my calendar.
Yes.
Yep. Wow, look at that.
Yep, it is your birthday. So happy birthday, Larry. Ah,
thank you.
Congratulations. Oh. You are today's retro birthday.
I feel every bit of it. Oh my God, do you have history on me? Do you have like some interesting fun facts about me?
And right now, we're going to go into a special retro spotlight on one Mr. Larry Mormon. Right? Born Lawrence Theodore Mormon on March 30th, 1980.
Theodore? That'd be, well, fun fact. No, well, my middle name's Joseph, but my middle name was supposed to be Adrian.
Adrian,
and I still have no idea where that's from. Lawrence is my great grandfather,
right?
And another, I'll give you a fun fact. Neither my mother nor my father named me. My grandmother named me.
Oh,
my mom was out cold after the birthing.
Understandable.
And, you know, the nurse comes in and she goes, "Would you like to meet Lawrence?" And my dad's brother is named Larry. So my mom goes, "What's my brother-in-law doing up here already?" Like didn't expect it. Then here I come. She's like, "Oh, who named him Lawrence?" my dad's mom was like, "We needed a name for the birth certificate. Lawrence it is."
Nice.
There we go. I got another fun fact, but I'm not 100% sure. No, it's not. It's not for this podcast, but I got another weird fun fact that...
You're going to say, I think you should save it for...
I might have to save it for the better half.
Half.
It's a good one, though. Like I almost destroyed an entire religion. And
definitely for the better half.
Yeah, I'll have to leave it at that. So, yeah. Of course, no fault of my own or anyone else's. But in any event, but no, thank you. Thank you for the birthday wishes.
Very happy retro birthday to you.
So, are you responsible for this mail that I got?
Yes, and I can guarantee you that your mail this year does not include a destroyed Virtual Boy.
Thank God, because that's still a couple years ago, and for some reason, I still have it.
As you should keep that forever.
I'm trying to somehow put it in a frame. I don't know how I'm going to do it.
I think that'd be really cool. Get like a big shadow, get a shadow box and just pin all the pieces up.
I'm just going to throw glue against the wall and just throw it at it. Whatever sticks.
I think that works. Give it a shot. Can't hurt.
So when I got home this morning, I had a couple packages came in the mail. And I mean, things are getting delivered here. Pardon me. Things are getting delivered here all the time. So I'm like, oh, what is this? And I opened them up and they are what they are. I'll show you in a moment. And I'm like, what the hell is this? I don't remember ordering this stuff. And then I started putting two and two together, and I'm like, there's really only one person who's going to go through this theme for me. So
that is right.
So let me start first with this, which I think is awesome. A t-shirt. Let me just move this to the side. You may not hear me as much.
But... very exciting. It's a pixel t-shirt of a house and trees that says, I went outside once. The graphics weren't that great.
I do. That is awesome. I do love that. So thank you very much.
Yeah, I figured you can wear that when you go out for a walk.
Absolutely. Nothing like wearing black in the dead of heat. and then the second. No, actually, I do like that shirt. And then this I really love because the more I look at it, the more like things stick out at me. Like,
yeah, I thought it was
looks.
Yeah, and I thought it was an interesting kind of unique thing. I wasn't sure about obviously the wall space in your house, but I just thought this would be a cool thing.
Actually, to be honest with you, I've been up here like a year and a half, maybe almost 2 years. I still have barely hung anything up. So,
all right, well, here you go.
Room, a nice tin Nintendo Power cover.
Yeah. And of course I went with the Super Mario Brothers 3 one. There are other ones, but I thought that one made the most sense for you.
And what I love about this one is how distressed it looks.
Yes, it does look like it's
Seen some bad days. Used.
Mm-hmm. So, but the distressed look is always a cool look to me.
I love it. No, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I love it. So thank you very much. I really do appreciate these.
You're welcome and happy birthday, man. And many, many more.
Thank you very much. And I got you nothing. Nothing today. I got you.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. What you should be doing is getting your mom something. I mean, you made her pass out 41 years ago.
41 years of bliss.
There you go. But yeah, so very, very happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Thank you
very much. For those of you who listen and watch, please leave some happy birthday comments for Mr. Larry Moorman on our pages and tell us what you think about him.
Ooh, yeah.
All right, you know what? Just leave a happy birthday. Never mind.
There may be a few people out there who will take their liberties, but that's okay. No, it's very cool. And I think hopefully on my birthday, I will be celebrating, which hopefully will be a lot different than last year's. Mm-hmm. You know, the big 4-0, and, you know, everyone was like, meh.
Yeah.
We'll leave this one aside.
Well, lockdown. What can you do?
And it was in the beginning too, man. That sucked.
That's when everybody was like, oh crap, everybody hide.
Yep. No, that's basically, at least now it's like, all right, well, maybe we can try and do something.
Try and do a little something.
But nevertheless, very cool. So that's awesome. There is actually, funny enough, I didn't realize I do share a birthday with something else we'll talk about a little later.
Correct.
I figure maybe we'll break some of this up. We'll talk about some news, just some things coming out, some things I saw, some things you saw.
Yep.
Then we'll get into the meat and potatoes of it. So
potatoes.
Potatoes au gratin or just?
No, just potatoes.
If you're just going to go all out. You know, like, how would you dress up your potato?
How would I dress up my potato? Yes. I guess I'm very simple, just butter and pepper.
Fun fact, has nothing to do with video games, but Penn Jillette of Penn and Teller, right? Remember, he was big
dude.
He went on like a 2-week all potato diet.
Yeesh.
And that's what, no, he said that's what kickstarted his metabolism to start going the other way. And he lost all of this weight and he literally, all he did was eat potato, like skin and all, though. Just potatoes.
All right.
Nothing on them, just like an apple. Well, you probably cooked them, but.
All right, that's fair.
And then I saw like other YouTubers who tried it and lost a lot of weight. I should be swimming in potatoes.
Well, so. maybe we try the potato thing and see what happens.
Maybe we will. I mean, I'll do disappear. Try them. I do eat potatoes. Usually they're long, salted, deep fried.
Well, I think that's part of the problem.
It was some news that you have for us this week.
Oh, good Lord. I don't really have that many pieces of news. I think you have the news this week.
I do have some news, yeah.
Yeah, no, the only one it's the only one that I want to share that I found is that recently there was a video game collector
mm-hmm.
who showed off a Nintendo 64 disk drive.
Okay.
And not just a Nintendo 64, a Nintendo 64 disk drive development kit.
Ooh, those are even better.
So his name is Shane Lewis. He hosts his own YouTube channel called ReRez, R-E-R-E-Z. He received a brand new developer's kit. So basically, that means that you use this to develop the games for mm-hmm. the N64 disk drive. Mm-hmm. And the N64 disk drive only came out with 10 games in the U.S., or 10 games in general before it was
say,
I'm sorry
yeah.
10 games in general before it was just 10. Yeah, it only released in Japan. 10 games were released on it. It only sold 15,000 units, so it kind of just went, you know, the way of the dodo or the way of the Virtual Boy. So
Big Bird moved in with the dodos.
Yes, he did. It was very strange. So Shane Lewis got this brand new developer's kit, 5 unused 64DD development discs.
Oh, cool.
Which are blue for some odd reason, adapters and an N64 cartridge. Like that's everything that he got with this package.
Mm-hmm.
Now you think about it, you get this, you know, you get this development kit. It's going to be a pretty pristine type of thing. He did an unboxing of it.
How dare he?
On his YouTube channel to show everybody what was in it.
What?
So that was a really cool thing. And, for anybody who is interested in seeing what the N64 disk drive development unit looks like or development kit looks like, or if you've never seen a 64 disk drive, you know, head over and check out ReRez on YouTube and you can see the unboxing of this, which is actually really cool.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, those developmental kits, there's some of them are wild. You ever see the Super NES development kit?
I think so. Yeah. It's a big kind of,
it looks like an Xbox Series X.
Yeah, it's a huge. Yeah, I saw that when I went to Gamers Paradise in Las Vegas.
Oh, cool! Oh, the other one.
Yeah,
cool.
they had one of those there, if I remember correctly. And it looked really cool. Sweet. Yeah. Oh, and the other thing to note about that 64DD is that it was able to connect to the internet.
I did not. Was that always the intent was going to be when it came out here?
No, it was always able to connect to the internet. Well, you remember though back, you know, remember in Japan that the Famicom. Yeah. Was able to connect to the internet. So they've been doing internet connections with their consoles forever. So
this is true,
not really a surprise that it was able to do that.
Huh. That's pretty cool. Probably just more horse racing.
Yeah, probably. Just more horse racing. Those Japanese love to bet.
They do. Especially on horses.
Yeah, absolutely. So I thought that was a really cool bit of news to share with you. And I believe we'll turn it over to you because you said you have a bit or two of news. Because again, I mean, I didn't really find a whole lot of news this week.
No, and of course, mine's a little on the Nintendo side. I know we're all Nintendo heavy, but that's what we grew up with.
That's what we found.
So even though this is not what we're going to be talking about today, even though I feel like we should, but we're not going to, the 3DS actually just turned 10 recently. Actually, I think maybe we did talk about that. But nevertheless, 3DS turned 10. Ever since the Switch came out, Nintendo really kind of pulled back on the 3DS for obvious reasons. I mean, the Switch is portable, so why, you know, do for both? And the whole 3D aspect as much of the 3DS, I think, started to go away. It was cool, but I ended up playing games in 2D mode than 3D, and it really didn't change anything. But I can't remember the last time a new game was being released for the 3DS until now. French publisher who I've been dying to order from, I haven't really had a chance to yet. French publisher Pixel Heart, PIXELHEART, has announced the game Androdunos 2, which is also coming to the Switch. They are also going to make a physical copy for the 3DS.
Oh, that's really cool.
Which I think is awesome. Oh, And as I'm reading here, they're also making a physical copy for the Dreamcast.
Hmm.
Actually, they have a few games on Dreamcast, Pixel Heart, like newer games.
Oh, that's really cool.
Andros Dunos 2 is a sequel to a Neo Geo shoot 'em up from the early 90s. And, of course, you can pre-order it right now from Pixel Heart, which I probably will do with my birthday money.
Of course.
Let's see. But the site's currently experiencing technical difficulties. Ah, the French. Okay, so that's not
a problem. Don't mess with the French.
So, I mean, a physical 3DS copy of a newer game, I think that's pretty cool. And if it's coming out on the Switch, I don't know, I'd probably still get it on the 3DS just for the nostalgia factor.
Okay.
So that's I think that's pretty cool. And again, especially with these like special editions and stuff, I've been talking about it. I've been leaning more towards physical copies with these special editions. Regular run of the mill stuff, I'm still stick. Whoa.
Wow. What were you saying?
That's me turning 41, folks.
I didn't like that at all.
Let me go make an appointment with my doctor. I'm sticking with digital for newer stuff. Even though I'm kind of going back and forth due to recent events, but that's neither here nor there. For now, I'm sticking with digital. But yeah, these special editions, the physical stuff, I think that's, you know, I'm going to go that way. And it's going to be weird because now I got to start finding more room on my shelf.
Oh, okay.
Of course, Pixel Heart and Strictly Limited Gaming, I'll be more than happy to purchase from as of cool. other sites. I hope go under and bankrupt. Let's see. So that's pretty cool. New 3DS game. Also on the Switch, talking about a small handheld system, I think this is pretty cool. A collection of 10 classic Neo Geo Pocket Color games were just released on the Switch. And what's really cool about this
game,
the game can be played like with the wallpaper to look like the Neo Geo Pocket Color. The games on it are let's see what we got. Big Tournament Golf, Dark okay. Arms, Beastbuster 1999, Metal Slug First and Second Missions.
Ooh.
SNK versus
Metal Slug.
Metal Slug is awesome.
Yeah, Metal Slug definitely is a lot of fun.
SNK versus Capcom, the match of the millennium.
Hmm.
Fatal Fury, First Contact. The Last Blade, Beyond the Destiny. King of Fighters R2, Samurai Showdown 2, and SNK Gals Fighters.
So when are you buying it?
I haven't pulled the trigger yet. It's $40 right now. I'll probably wait for it to try and go on sale. I think it's pretty, like 60 of the games have already been released on their own.
Oh, wow.
So they're gonna but this is now just like a collection to get all of them.
Mm-hmm.
What's cool is any of these games that were originally compatible with the original Neo Geo Pocket, think of it like the Game Boy. Neo Geo Pocket started out as black and white, the Game Boy green, then black and white, and then obviously color for Neo Geo Pocket and Game Boy. So I don't know which are which, but any of the games that were compatible on Neo Geo Pocket, you can also play in black and white, which I think is pretty cool. But it's pretty straightforward, nothing fancy to it, just 10 cool games, handheld. I never really played it, because Neo Geo is very heavy on fighters.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, they're cool, but I just can't get into all of them.
Yeah, there were just too many.
I heard SNK versus Capcom, even on Neo Geo Pocket Color, was phenomenal.
Yeah, okay.
So I might give it a shot.
I think you should.
So yeah, so check that out if you're looking for the nostalgia factor.
Mm-hmm.
What else we got? And then one other thing I think is kind of, it's always weird when you see something like this, even though it makes 100% sense that it happens, on the Amiibo, right? Hmm. The Banjo-Kazooie Amiibo, which is coming out because of Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Everyone, I guess, is finding it either cool or interesting, or they're just going, crazy over the fact that on the bottom of a Nintendo Amiibo, there is the copyright Microsoft 2021. You know, because Banjo-Kazooie is a Microsoft, is a rare character through Microsoft. So I guess it's out of just kind of, it's like, you know, Jetsons meet the Flintstones, I guess. I don't know. So people like that. I thought that was pretty interesting. Nothing fancy there.
Nothing fancy.
And
I've got a few bits to throw at you as well while you were chatting. I did find a couple of pieces.
Yeah,
of news.
That's really mostly about. I already have Pixel Heart up and running at €34.90. What is that? Are we on the upside or the downside of a euro?
We pay more.
All right.
So you'd probably pay about like $43, $44.
Still not the worst thing in the world. Okay. What do you got?
All right. So got some news here, and these are bits of news from the past month that we may have missed, which I find interesting.
All right.
I'll save that one for last because it's okay. So the former Activision co-founder creates a new retro gaming studio and announces the first two games for the Atari 2600.
I'm sorry, for the what?
Hold on. So about 2 weeks ago, former Activision co-founder David Crane and ex-Activision game designers Gary and Dan Kitchen announced that they've partnered to form Audacity Games Inc., a video game publisher focused on designing and publishing boxed game products for a variety of retro game systems. They are only going to be a retro game publisher, and their first two games are going to be Atari 2600 video games.
Interesting.
The two games that are being released are called Casey's Gold and Circus Convoy. So, and they have a trailer for Circus Convoy. And it's basically looks like you're on the train that the circus is on. I don't know what you have to do, but
Is it a great big circus convoy?
It's a great big circus convoy. Yes.
Is it going across the USA?
It is across the USA.
We had a great big convoy.
Anyway, gamers play as Andre the Magnificent, a circus strongman.
What do they got that from?
A circus strongman tasked with finding a saboteur among the speeding convoy trucks and sideshow trailers of a traveling big top circus.
Interesting.
Yep. And then Casey's Gold features a train conductor named Casey O'Kelly, who must search for lost gold bars aboard a runaway Western style steam train.
Okay. What is their deal here with trains? What's going on?
Who knows?
It's probably just easier to reskin the game.
Yeah. Maybe they just reskin the game with the same thing, but interesting. But interesting to keep an eye on this Audacity Games Inc. because they're not just saying, I don't think they're saying it's just going to be Atari 2600 games. They're going to be developing retro games. So I'm curious to see what else they come out with.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Definitely. Especially worth looking into.
Boxed, as they say.
Yep. And if you go to their website, they already have Circus Convoy and Casey's Gold up there, which is really cool. Obviously they're not released yet. They're coming soon.
Gotcha.
They also have interesting. You can buy pieces for the Atari 2600. Like, it has 2600 cartridge case, a 2600 circuit board.
Oh, that's cool.
I wonder if the idea is that you download the game and then you can buy the physical cartridge to put it on.
Oh, but you have to have a dev kit or something like that, or flash.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so interesting. So when you go to their website, they have a game pricing category, and then you choose, obviously, if you want the standard edition of the game, a collector's edition, or a VIP collector edition. So all very interesting stuff here.
What is it called again?
Audacity Games. Larry will be buying that stuff right now.
As I head there.
Thought that was kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah, look at this. Interesting.
Yeah. So, for example, the standard edition, which is $55 to $65, you get standard games complete in box, are games in the style of the golden era of old school games, designed and programmed by some of the most accomplished world-class game designers, individually programmed, serial numbers on them.
That's the high-end one.
Right. I'm looking at the
standard edition. I'm sorry.
Crypto secure, in box, contextual QR link guides, score tracking, high score list authentication available. Hmm. So Audacity Games, a new retro game company, really interested to see what they come out with. They've already got some high scores up. I guess they release these things on emulator for people to play. So you can go there and see Who's doing well on Circus Convoy, who's doing well on, you know, Casey's Gold, although yeah. it looks like it's only Circus Convoy right now. Oh no, wait, you can choose the game that you want. Yeah, it's just Circus Convoy at the moment. So really, really yeah. interesting.
Cool.
So that's it about Audacity Games. Next one I want to share really quickly is, mm-hmm. and this is a cool little bit of news. Square Enix unveiled, this is earlier this month, mm-hmm. a Space Invaders augmented reality mobile game.
Ooh, that sounds cool.
Yep. So they're working with Taito on a new Space Invaders title. It'll be on mobile, bringing the aliens and more to your everyday life as you walk around with your mobile device. So basically, you're gonna walk around and you're gonna see those little Space Invader aliens pop up in real life through your phone.
Awesome.
So that's really cool. Just another. What's interesting about that is, I think it's a, you know, obviously Pokemon Go has been the most successful out of all of these things, where, you know, you find Pokemon everywhere and you catch them. So really interesting that they're going to take a shot at like Space Invaders, because that's kind of cool. You're going back to a retro title, you know, like a really retro title,
mm-hmm.
And try and make a connection with you know, all ages today in terms of augmented reality. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Oh, totally. Yeah. So, yeah, that AR is getting ridiculous. I can only imagine what that's going to look like. So that's pretty cool.
Try at some point, we'll all be in AR permanently.
Oh, forget about it.
It's going to happen. Okay, moving on. This was also earlier this month. And Larry, you may already know about these. If you don't, I'm surprised you don't, because you'll probably buy these.
Shame on me.
No. So company New Wave, you know, New Wave Toys.
I know exactly where you're going with this.
You know exactly where you're going. Yep. Okay, good. So New Wave revealed two new mini arcade cabinets. 1942 and 1943.
Ooh.
Both of them come with additional controllers, as previous replicate cabinets have, so you can do wireless gameplay. It's a 1/6 scale actual arcade cabinet. Both cabinets are on sale for $120 each, and they look really cool.
They do look really, really cool. I might pull the trigger on those. And I don't know which one to go with. You know, 1942 is just the classic
mm-hmm.
original, but 1943 just had some amazing gameplay. Both available on the Capcom arcade collection.
Yep.
On the Switch. But still, those little mini cabinets are pretty sweet looking.
Yeah. I got to say, of the two, I do like the 1943 arcade cabinet better mm-hmm. because it's the more traditional one, like the tall black one.
Okay.
Black cabinet. Whereas like the 1942 one, although the 1942 one is kind of cool, it's got the wooden cabinet, but the screen is a little more angled.
You were looking
down on that one more than you were looking straight on. So, but really, really interesting. Just wanted to share that bit of news.
Absolutely.
And the last one, and I did not read the entire article, so you're going to have to deal with it. This is on techspot.com, where they announced last week that a game preservation group put more than 700 PlayStation 2 prototypes and unreleased demos online.
Really?
Yeah.
I always feel like that's like illegal or something. I don't know how.
That's what's interesting. The bundle consists of around 860 gigabytes of compressed data and is the first part of what sounds like a lot more to come. So the group of people is called Hidden Palace. These are the same people who showed us the Sonic the Hedgehog 3 prototype in late 2019.
Okay.
This time they worked with a single person that let them look over and preserve each item in his collection with no strings attached.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody had all of these and was willing to share them with this this group to download them and share them with the world. So Hidden Palace has a running list, and the name of this project is Project Deluge.
Okay.
They have a running list of Project Deluge builds over on its website. Mm-hmm. Right now, 752 entries on that site.
That's insane.
Which is insane. And just to give you an idea of what's up there, just to share, like they have a list up on hiddenpalace.org.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm just going to try and find a game that we all know. There's a ton here. All right, here's one that Franco loved to hear. Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance. So Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance, October 7th, 2001 prototype. Backyard Wrestling, Don't Try This at Home. July 13th, 2003 prototype.
Interesting.
Yeah, really, really just interesting stuff. Miss 3, May 10th, 2002 prototype. So just really, 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 really cool stuff. Red Faction, February 9th, 2001 prototype. Just, okay. Yeah, all these different prototypes. I'm trying to see if I can find a like a demo. Maybe they don't have demos up yet. But
oh, I see what he's talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, because they said they were putting up prototypes and demos. Let's see. X-Men Next Dimension, July 7th, 2002 prototype. That was the X-Men fighting game.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah. Huh. So just a whole bunch of prototypes going up. Thought that was really, really cool.
Totally.
And then, of course, these were all essentially unreleased since they were prototypes. So, yeah, just an interesting little story there that somebody is trying to, you know, preserve all of these prototypes and demos that were released over time.
I wonder if any of them are on that as well on the, what is that, like Internet Archive or something like that?
Oh, you yeah. All those games are? Yeah, I love going to that.
Do you do that?
Every once in a while I go over there because I remember a game I used to have. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if it's over there. And I remember like one of them on there was like, I had this this amazing Spider-Man and X-Men animator. You were able to put the almost looked a little bit like color forms in a way where like you would put the characters on, you would put the characters on the screen, but then you were able to move them. And I just thought it was a really cool thing. And I had both of them for, my PC at the time. And it was just really, yeah, it was just like a really cool little thing. And I'm like, oh, I was like, and those are up there. So you can find a lot of games on that. I can't remember exactly what the name of that site is now.
I think it's archive. Like .org or something.
Archive.
It's weird. Again, another situation.
That's exactly what it is. Archive.org.
I don't know how the hell they're able to put up the games that they do, but they did, and it's done.
Yeah. So. Oh, wow. Super Mario World DX is up there.
That exactly. How are they able to
do
that?
And it was an MS-DOS game?
You could probably play it in an MS-DOS.
Oh, here you go, Larry. This one's for you. Penthouse Hot Numbers Deluxe.
I'm in.
MS-DOS.
Let's do it. Hot Numbers 4.
Mortal Kombat, Monkey Island, Tetris, Leisure Suit Larry.
Sounds like Antstream Arcade, that streaming service, which has a whole bunch of old,
yes,
old classic games, which is like right now the only reason why I play the Atari VCS is because I have a free year of Antstream Arcade. So I've been playing a bunch of that.
But yeah, so yeah, archive.org is always cool to go look at. There's just so many games in their library. It's crazy.
All right, cool.
All right, and that was it for the extra news that I happened to find.
I have just one thing that popped in my head because I want to give kudos to, you know, it's a lot of times, all joking aside, a lot of times companies, you know, they'll put things out, they'll put either a system out or a game out, and I'm talking even like recent stuff, where it's like, how did it go through testing? How did they even be allowed to release this game to the mass markets?
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Okay.
And I'm going to give kudos to Hyperkin, which is a company who I love. I love Hyperkin. You know, I got a few of their systems, a few of their, you know, adapters and whatnot. And I think they're great. They're a great company. Mm-hmm. They recently actually just got, I think they started shipping last week. They put out their newest system, the Retron Junior. Retron SP. Or SQ. It's going by a bunch of different names. Bottom line, you can play Game Boy and Game Boy Color games on it. And eventually, through a firmware upgrade, you'll be able to play Game Boy Advance games on it. And it's all on your TV. It hooks straight to your TV. Literally, it's a small, tiny box. And it comes with a Super NES-style controller. USB controller.
Huh.
So, very cool. They sent out, like test kits to, you know, YouTubers to test out and everything.
Right.
And the internet blew up.
Of course it did.
Why are the games not being displayed in their original aspect ratio? It's either 4:5 or 16:9, and none of those are the aspect ratio of a Game Boy or a Game Boy Color. Or maybe
not.
Even Game Boy Advance. So, of course, everyone's like, you know, F them. I'm not getting this system. Go analog. Just helps analog. Again,
yay, analog.
Analog, they're the Ferraris. Hyperkin is the Kmart. Nothing wrong with either one. If you can afford it, you can afford it. You know what I mean?
You're so right.
Nothing wrong with each. But the internet came out on this, and Hyperkin was like, the next day was like, we hear you. We're immediately working on a patch. And like a day or two before they ship the system, they like, we have, they call it a day zero patch that fixes the aspect ratio immediately. So they listened, they heard, they listened, they appreciate, you know, say, all right, we clearly did something or we didn't do something. Mm-hmm. We're going to fix it. And so I just want, I guess, you know, kudos to them because a lot of companies wouldn't even bother doing that. So definitely get yourself a Hyperkin, Retron, SP, SQ, JR, whatever the hell it's called. And enjoy those Game Boy and Game Boy Color games on the big screen like God eventually intended. So cool for them. Other than that, Ant, we have anything else to chat about? Because, I mean, I feel old, but I feel like something else is also old. Which...
Yeah, there are a couple of old things. One of them older than you, actually.
Is it possible?
There are a couple of retro birthdays. One of them shares your actual birthday. Not exactly, but, you know, the actual the day and the month.
Oh, fair enough.
The other one does not, but it's happening next week as well.
Okay.
So the first thing to talk about is that on today's date, March 30th, in 1996, that would be 25 years ago, we were gifted with the wonderful, wonderful franchise maker known as Resident Evil.
Yes, the there were games like it before it, but Resident Evil is the one that put survival horror on the map.
Yes, it did. It really did. There were, yeah, and to your point, there were other games before it, but Resident Evil definitely was the one that broke out and created a whole genre of awesome survival horror games.
I never really got into it, but I know you love it.
Yeah, so you've never played any of them?
No, I mean, I've played some. Like, I honestly, the first one I probably got, I don't even think I got the original on the PlayStation. Mm-hmm. I probably got Resident Evil 2 on N64 because I didn't have a PlayStation. Okay. So I probably got that because that was the first one on
like, because you were a Nintendo snob at the time.
No, I just did not have a PlayStation.
You were a Nintendo snob at the time. It's okay.
And then after that, I don't know if I had a copy on the Dreamcast. And then eventually I got when they kind of re-released them on the GameCube. You know, when they jacked up the graphics and everything.
Okay.
But and it scared me then. Like, I always tell the story, but I thought it was, in my mind, I blocked it out so much. I thought it was a pebble being thrown through the window. I guess it was a dog that came through the window. Either way, I had to run, turn the lights on, and change my pants. So,
yep. Nice. So, yep. I remember that moment specifically because when I first got the game, I was so excited because I'm like, ooh, this looks really good. Mm-hmm. And I played it in my room with the lights off. And when that dog went through the window, that was the first time I think I've ever jumped playing a video game. I was like, oh my God, that was awesome.
Here I am cowering in the corner and you're like, more.
Exactly. More. I was like, ooh, what else has this game got in store for me? This is great. But yeah, so I've been a huge fan of the Resident Evil series. I can't say that I've been a recent fan of it. I'm talking about the early retro ones. So
totally.
Yeah. I played, you know, the original Resident Evil 2, which is, I think, my favorite. I played through Resident Evil 3, Nemesis, did not beat it, got to the end and could not beat whatever that guy was.
Nemesis?
Yeah, Nemesis. Stars.
There you go. Oh, good. When I listen back to this in the middle of the night, that's going to scare me.
Yeah, exactly. And then Code Veronica on the Dreamcast was, I think the last one I played. When they got to Resident Evil 4, they changed the way you play the game. So, at that point I was kind of like, I don't really want to change this. Like, I like the way it used to play. I'm not really, so I never wound up transitioning over.
Fair enough.
I have all the Resident Evils like on, you know, on console and 4, 5, 6, 7. I have the 7, which is VR.
Yes, it is.
Which is, I did play that for a few minutes. It's scary as hell. But yeah, just the whole idea of like, you know, obviously long before Walking Dead and all this stuff, just the whole idea of a survival horror with zombies. You know, you the whole idea behind, you had two different characters you can choose from, which changed the story in the first one. In the second one, you had two different characters and it ran on two discs,
yes,
because that's how involved it was with the two characters. there's just so much to love about that series. Of course, can't talk about the first one without talking about the god-awful acting that was in it. Oh man. Video game acting in the 90s was just plain terrible. And it was great. Like, it was like worse than B movie.
If you thought acting. Dana Plato was good in
Night Trap,
wait till you see some of these actors in the Resident Evil. Because when that full motion video came out, and we're like, oh, look at this. It's real people in the game. Like, forget the pixelation nowadays. Like, we didn't know it, so we thought it was the greatest thing ever. Like, look how clear this is. But yeah, some of the acting is wicked. Let me ask you a question.
Crazy. Which version? Sorry, I need to respond to this really quickly.
I was going to say, though, which Resident Evil version do you have? Because Resident Evil is so original on the PlayStation, it came out in the large, like, Sega CD boxes.
I think the answer to that question is, can I find it over here? Let's see.
I mean, eventually it came out on the regular CD jewel case.
When I first got it in the original tall.
Okay, that's cool. That's
I got
cool.
it in the original. Now, I don't have that anymore.
I
would love to say that I gotcha. Still do. I'm just double checking to make sure. I only have one original tall box from Sega. Not Sega, from Sony PlayStation. But no, I have the just the original. So.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, no, I had the original box, and I'm sorry I don't have it still, because those original boxes, you remember, just they were gigantic.
Yeah, I got one or two of them, maybe.
They're basically the size of the Sega CD boxes.
Yep.
That's essentially what they were, and then they very quickly switched to, you know, like compact disc cases.
Yeah, they all did.
The rest is history. Well, yeah. I mean, it was just so much easier to deal with, you know. But Resident Evil, definitely. I mean, we can talk like forever about that series, or I can. You didn't play it, but not only that. I mean, it spawned a successful film franchise that went, I think, 6 or 7 movies, and now they're rebooting it.
Yep.
So definitely, you know, definitely a very influential video game.
And I know they're doing like a crossover is a strong word, but with The Division, or at least The Division 2 specifically, you can get Resident Evil gear in The Division 2, which is pretty cool. Yeah, for the 25th anniversary. So.
Very cool.
Very sweet.
So, yeah. So, a happy 25th retro birthday to Resident Evil. And then I have one more retro birthday to share, Larry.
What else?
So, this is interesting because we've never talked about this on our show. And we must have missed this retro birthday. But now is the one to talk about. April 1st. 1976, 45 years ago.
Okay.
A little company in California was founded.
California.
Okay. That would redefine the gaming, or let's just say the tech industry, you know, indefinitely.
I honestly am trying to figure out what you're talking
which
about.
Which includes, you know, obviously gaming, as well as other devices and whatnot. And I'm talking about Apple Computer Inc., founded on April 1st, 1976, 45 years ago.
Wow. I didn't really... Yeah. Probably after they worked in that small garage? No, actually, they were probably still in that garage when they might have still been,
when they founded the company and they, you know, got the, licensed the rights and all that stuff, whatever the name. Apple Computer, 45 years old.
It's funny. I never remember anyone with a Mac growing up. Did you have a Mac growing up?
I did not. No.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember a Mac. At least
the very first computer, the very first computer I think I had was a Commodore 64.
Mine too.
Yeah.
I think the first time I ever saw a Mac was like in computer class. I'm like, what the hell is this? And why is anyone going to work on it?
Yes, I remember. Yeah, I remember having.
They were Macs. In the back room.
Yeah, I remember having Macs. No, I remember having Macs in, I want to say elementary school. Like when I was like in seventh or eighth grade, we had computer class. It wasn't called anything else. It was just called computer class. So we would go there and that's where we would kind of like, we would learn about how to use a computer, but we would also play games on it. Like we were allowed to play games on it because we were just kind of learning how to fool around with the computer. And that was just super fun. Of course, at that point, I already knew my way around a computer because I had a Commodore. So it's like, yeah, no keyboard and all that stuff. It was just really cool. And just to think now, you know, where we are today with Apple.
My entire computing elements is short of the routers is all Apple in my apartment.
Right. And I have nothing Apple related.
It's funny.
I have it. I do have an iPhone, but it's my work phone.
It's like, honestly, with Apple, it's you're either all in or all out. It like
Yeah.
you gotta have everything or nothing. I remember I was all again, I was all like,
Yeah.
no, Apple, boo, boo, hiss. Are you making limited games, Apple? I don't get it. But
Limited run.
then all of a sudden, I'm like, all right, this iPhone thing looks pretty interesting. Let me grab an iPhone. I was like, ooh, that's actually pretty cool. And then I think I got an Apple TV. Then that's when I finally got the iMac because I'm like, I'm tired of my computer getting viruses, probably from the websites I was going to. And then once I got the iMac, it was game over. I'm like, that's it. I'm all in. Steve Jobs. So I was all in.
Yeah, I never fell all in, and my biggest issue always with Apple was the whole everything or nothing thing. It's like once you start with Apple, everything it's only compatible with other Apple devices. So I'm like, I don't want to commit to everything Apple. I did have an iMac for a while because when I one of my jobs in LA, when they got bought out, and then eventually they started downsizing people. They had such a plethora of extra computers and printers and stuff like that. So what they did was they offered them to the company, they offered them to the employees that were there to buy stuff for like literally next to nothing. So like I bought like a laser printer for like 10 bucks. And
Everything
then
must go, here
no,
we go.
basically like I bought a laser, like a $500 laser printer for 10 bucks, and I had that sucker here for years. And then also I got an iMac, I think, for like $100. Wait, not a, was is iMac the one where it was all in the monitor? Yeah. So I got an iMac for like $100. And to be honest with you, I only used it for Final Cut Pro, which is a film editing software.
To be fair, yeah, like Matt, for a while, Macs were really like if you were into editing, like film or
Yeah.
photos, you went Mac. Like Mac really
Correct.
wasn't your everyday computer. And it's certainly not priced to be an everyday computer. It's
No.
priced to be an editor. Of course, minor for everyday use. I mean, I do some editing here with the
Yeah,
podcast on the audio side,
right,
but.
exactly. But yeah, but once they changed Final Cut Pro on the Mac, you know, they were like, honestly, it's not what it used to be. But like but outside of that, like I was straight up pretty much all PC. Not, and again, it's not to knock Apple. It's just that I don't want to just have to always upgrade Apple.
Don't you have to upgrade a PC?
Yeah, but my PC lasts longer to me. Like I've had my PC
Really?
for,
In all honesty? Okay.
yeah, I've had this PC, I think, for like 4 or 5 years, and it works perfectly.
I like how much longer is 4 or 5 years. I
I
was
don't know.
expecting you to say like double digits, or at
Well,
least
no,
eight or nine.
my last PC lasted almost 10.
Okay, fair enough.
So,
But you
yeah.
also do actual work on it, where I was doing stupid things on it, which is probably why
Right.
mine only lasted a few years, except the iMac lasted a long, long time. And then finally, I got the MacBook Pro, which is what I'm recording on now. Because my plan was with podcasting to be able to go around, I'll bring the Mac around, and then God goes, I'm shutting the world down for a little while. So
Exactly.
that all came to a screeching halt. But still, the Mac is good because then I can just sit on the couch, edit, watch TV, stuff like that. But nevertheless, yeah. And all right, let's switch over. And a lot of this, you know, gamers are computers, you know, so they're definitely aware of all this. I think I've mentioned this page before, this YouTuber, Patman QC, Patman. Patman QC, he's awesome. I love watching his stuff, his retro stuff, you know, like the history of all these different games. He's got a ton of stuff. But what he does is at the end or like the last quarter or whatever of his videos, he always shows the home conversions of these arcade games. And he goes through all of half these systems I never even heard of. I'm pretty sure a couple of them are calculators. But every once like he'll bring up the Apple 8-bit or the Apple II, I should say. And like some of these like Apple and some of them are really good with the graphics and some of them are really terrible with the graphics, as is a lot of these computers. But I mean, some of the games that came out on Apple looked really, really good, at least later on Apples. I'm talking about like before the big switch, like before the, we'll say pre-internet era, you know, when everything was on a disk drive.
Yeah, I love
So,
that. Love that sound.
but I never had the opportunity to play on an Apple. But if anyone at home, you know, if you're listening or watching, if you ever played on an Apple, you know, if you have memories, maybe a game you could recommend on Apple, like I'm talking about some old computers that none of us are going to find or ever play again. Definitely give us a shout out. Let us know in the comments. But hey, happy birthday, Apple.
45 years.
Good for them.
That is, at 45 years later, that is one rotten apple.
Oh.
That would be one rotten apple.
Don't listen. Ah, I just dropped my apple.
It's going to electrocute me.
It probably
But right. That is all that I have.
I think that is it. Oh, I did get one more little birthday gift, which I bought myself.
What did you get?
Nothing related to video gaming, but still.
What did you get?
Grimlock.
Oh, that's really cool. Very nice.
I wish he transformed.
I don't think Pop Figures can transform.
No, that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And he's my favorite Dinobot. So
there you go.
All righty. And I'm pretty sure you didn't record this yet. Where can they find us?
I really need to do that, right? I did say I was going to. You guys can find us on facebook.com/retrogamerspodcast, on Instagram at retrogamerspodcast, on where else are we? On I forget. On
you can
Twitter,
make it so much shorter and I just know. Say find us everywhere you listen to the podcast.
No, I cannot. On Twitter at retrogamerspod.
That's OCD,
you can,
folks.
You can also listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can watch us on YouTube and IGTV.
Yes, you can.
Awesome. And if you want to email us, you can email us at email@theretrogamers.com.
Yes, definitely. And again, thank you for the gifts. I love the t-shirt. I love the little poster.
You're welcome. Happy birthday. It's getting harder and harder to find you like unique, you know, retro kind of gifts. So you just have everything.
Gift cards. Just get me gift cards. I'm good.
No. I need to do the work.
Actually, Etsy. For future reference, Etsy's got some wild stuff.
Yeah, so Etsy does have cool stuff.
So
I need to check Etsy next time.
A place called Canvas Quest. I'll give them a quick shout out. Canvas Quest on Etsy. They make these enamel pins of like just different games. And I'm talking from PC, like computer era, like King's Quest and stuff, to modern stuff. Well, not super modern. It's all like 8-bit looking. Mm-hmm. And they just put out a Popeye pin. The Popeye head from the arcade cabinet.
Cool.
And I love Popeye. So I ordered it. But what's really cool is, because it's a pin, I'm like, all right, where am I going to put it? But you can either choose a pin or a magnet version. So on to the fridge it will go. But they got a lot of cool stuff. So check them out. Canvas Quest.
Very cool. Very, very cool.
With that, though, again, Ann, thank you very much for the kind gifts and kind words. And with that, I'm going to go celebrate. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm sure it'll be something.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be fun. No, you won't remember it at all.
And not because I'm drinking. That's just because of old age.
Yes. You have now crossed the threshold where I am, where it's like, what did I eat this morning?
That is never a problem for me. And folks, we will catch you right here next week on the Retro Gamers Podcast.